of successful streetcar operation this year, we'll have something in the neighborhood of 3.8 million riders. I'd like to get that to 4 million, but I'm not quite sure I can ride it that many times. We've experienced about $4 billion worth of development in the three-block corridor either side of the streetcar over that time. That's at double the density of the rest of the central city development. So we've achieved a lot of the city goals and supported those goals in the construction and development that surrounded the streetcar and the streetcar itself. This project, which includes $75 million of federal funding and the first of the Small Starts Program grants, will lead to some 1,400 construction jobs and is a result of a lot of hard work by a lot of people. Certainly Congressman Blumenauer and DeFazio deserve a good deal of recognition for their work in this. In addition, the community has spent a lot of time on this. This is a program that's been thoroughly vetted on the process side. We've had a steering committee on the east side that's met for 7 years. I calculate that's about 80 meetings, the members of which have been very loyal to the process, and I want to particularly thank that group. Property owners have signed up for a $15 million LID. This is not, in large part, an area rich in LID potential, certainly south of 84, but nonetheless, people are making a contribution and a significant one. The community leaders I'd like to thank include Hank Ashforth, Nancy Stuber, Mike Bollinger, and Dick Cooley for their long service on this. And I can't single them out by name, but I think Job had an easy job running pushing a rock up a hill. I think sometimes it's more like this has been a community effort to push water up a hill without benefit of a bucket. But PDOT, Metro, TriMet, the mayor's office, the PSI board, the professional work of SOJ, all contributed to the success of this project. We had a formidable obstacle in gaining federal approval. Sometimes I say all we had to do was elect a man of color with a Middle East middle name and to get this country turned around and recognize the value of track transportation, all to get a streetcar built in Portland, but it did seem to work out okay in the end. It's a successful project. I want to point out it's been a safe project. We've never had a single significant injury in the operation of the streetcar in those 8 years. It's been successful for Portland. It's been successful for the development of downtown Portland. And we hope to see in that corridor, which will link OMSI, MLK and Grand Corridor to the Convention Center, the Lloyd District, the Rose Garden, and then over to downtown on the Broadway Bridge, bringing to that community the opportunities for development and for transportation that I think will link them to downtown and us to them and make of it one city. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Powell, for your service, your patience, and your perseverance on this. Mr. Reifer.
Good morning. I'm here representing the Streetcar Citizens Advisory Committee, and unlike some of the others here today, there is a very strong citizen input into this, and that's what I'd like to comment on briefly. This particular alignment that you're voting on today, like the original downtown alignment, was initiated and supported by citizens. The downtown alignment came out of five neighborhood associations in the downtown area from Larry Hill to Northwest, the same way that Michael's just described for this particular extension. The CAC has been engaged with citizens around the city in the operation and extension of the streetcar, and I'd like to report to council that we've seen almost without exception a very strong support for the logical extension of the streetcar into the neighborhoods. And I think it's important to note that this comes with the understanding, as was just described, that businesses and property owners and residents are going to have to participate financially in this. But I'm going to give you an example of the current discussions about the extension into John's Landing, potentially over the Selwood Bridge and potentially to Oswego. Virtually unanimous acceptance, neighborhood association, condominium owners, residents, business owners, and saying, this is what we want to do. We're prepared to potentially give up property. We're prepared to have LIDs because this is something that will help our neighborhoods. So I commend you for your support of what you've done. The Department of Transportation under Sue Keel and Paul Smith have been just excellent in supporting the citizens, and thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Davis.
Thank you. I'm Dick Davis. I serve as PSI's treasurer, been a longtime board member. PSI has worked closely with the city in overseeing the design and construction of the streetcar. PSI takes its financial responsibility very seriously. I just would comment on a couple of things that I think are important in this regard. The board reviews financial reports monthly. I review all bank statements monthly. All our accounts have been set up within FDIC limits, especially in the last 6 months. We submit, PSI submits an annual certified audit to the city. PSI has overseen over $100 million in construction since 1998. And I think most importantly, all of our projects have been on time and on budget.
Thank you, Mr. Davis. Thank you all very much for your testimony. Has anyone signed up?
No one signed up.
Is there anyone that wishes to testify on either council calendar item 786 or 787? All right, Carla, would you please call the roll on 786?
Fish?
Well, first, I just want to pick a fight with Michael Powell, but I do this reluctantly because he's a man of books. But I think, did you say Job in The Rock?
Who was it? Of
course, I thought it was Sisyphus.
Oh, that was Job.
But I defer to you on that.
The always been a little weak on religion.
I want to start by thanking PBOT for the briefings that I've received on this issue on an ongoing basis, Sue. And Sue, thank you also for the work, the invaluable service you gave to me in the process culminating what I hope will be a successful selection of a new housing director. And thank you for serving on the screening committee. Mayor, thank you for your leadership on this. You know, I'm reminded that we are going to be taking up a climate action plan, or have been taking up a climate action plan, joint county and city. And one of the key items in that climate action plan is that each of us have to reduce our VMTs, our vehicle miles traveled, I think from 18 to 6 miles or something like that. Is that right, Mayor?
Yep, roughly. Pretty close.
And it's an ambitious goal, and we talk about it, but then we say, well, how on earth do you accomplish that? Was am I close?
Yeah.
Commissioner Fritz, you're frowning.
I'm not.
Okay.
No.
I will defer to my colleagues if I'm off, but
just keep going, Nick. Keep going, you're doing great.
The question.
Making points all morning long.
There you go. So the question is, how do we get there? And we get there by making smart investments in alternative transportation. And we want everybody in our community to be able to travel by bike, by pedestrian, safe pedestrian pathway, by streetcar, by bus, by MAX. And today we are making, I think, an important investment in building out that multimodal transportation system. And this is focused on the east side of the river, and it has been thoroughly vetted. And so I'm pleased to support this good work and vote aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I'm so pleased that a new president has resulted in constructive attention to our project, whereas in the past it seems like we were hung up on continual questions about, is this really the best mode of transit, and look at buses and other things. So thanks to President Obama for really freeing up the logjam here for this and probably many other good multimodal projects and streetcar projects too. And now that we are in a position with Oregon Iron Works to really become the place that makes the new streetcars of a new generation of streetcar transportation, which I think is only going to grow as we see cities like Tucson and others following our lead. This is a good opportunity for jobs as well as for the type of land use and planning and neighborhood of livability that we're all so proud of that we have here in Portland. And it's great to finally get this to the east side. Not to say we won't continue to have questions about the budget and things like that, but overall this is a real solid step forward. Pleased to support it. Aye.
Leonard?
Oh, I'm sorry. My mom grew up here and talked about going to school in the 20s and the 30s on streetcar. So it's interesting when you look at historic pictures of Portland that what we're doing today is reclaiming part of what used to exist here in a very thoughtful, methodical way throughout the city. And it's a shame that with the advent of diesel buses, the decision was made in the 40s and 50s to do away with the existing streetcar system so that now we're left with having to redo what they had thoughtfully created in the earlier part of the prior century. So I not only applaud this effort, I think it's been really a long time coming and will do much to revitalize the area in the inner city that is going to receive it. But I actually look forward to the day where we can extend it back out Foster and back out Holgate, as some of the residents have talked to me about, to the more eastern edges of the city so that it becomes a much more integrated system than even what it is with this new addition. So I really appreciate the work by Sam and everybody else that has brought this to fruition. Aye.
Fritz.
So the city has been committed to this streetcar project, and this ordinance begins to implement it. And I respect the decisions that have been made and recognize Mayor Adams in particular for his dogged attention to this over many, many years, and also Vicky Deedy, who's been doing it as long as I can remember. Appreciate that very much. And Streetcar Advisory Committees, Portland Streetcar, Inc., the good work that's been done by purchasing. We have to recognize that the streetcar is a development engine and to respect the fact that it's going to be a little different in the Central East Side Industrial District, that we're going to be very careful how we use it as a tool in the Central East Side. It's splendid that we have $75 million in federal funds coming to help with this project, putting Oregonians to work. And I particularly appreciate Senator Merkley for his work in the Oregon State Senate, State Legislature and in as our representative in the federal government. It does include $15.5 million in contributions from nearby property owners, which is significant, and we appreciate that. It includes $10 million in contributions from citywide taxpayers, and that's important too. And it includes $17.5 million in tax increment financing from the River District. And that decision was made showing that this project is important. We also need to recognize that there are other important projects that need to be funded in the River District, particularly the Resource Access Center. And I know my colleagues on the council are committed to finding the funding for that, and we need to continue to do that. I am concerned about our aspirational goal of 35% disadvantaged women minority businesses not being met in this particular contract. I'm assured that that will be better in later contracts. And I know that Mayor Adams has set up a task force to oversee the stimulus money and how it's being used and to make sure that we do get better representation on that on the task force to oversee the stimulus money. We have the African-American Chamber of Commerce and the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and other entities in our community who are experts on this and who have been working on this issue for 20 years and more. And I just visited with the African-American Chamber last night and heard continued evidence that the problems that their qualified contractors have in getting some of these contracts, that a request for proposal will come out with 4 weeks' notice and has to patch together many different contracts in order to be for a smaller business to be able to bid on something as big as this. And I'm sure we can do better, and I know that the folks in purchasing and Mayor Adams' office, everybody's committed to doing better. We, with this opportunity, with the stimulus money, it's also a challenge that we have to do better, and we have to make sure that everybody shares in the jobs that are being created by this project and the others with the stimulus money, because this does provide good jobs for Oregonians. It does provide the basic services and also the jobs that are so important in this particular area. So I'm glad to support the project. Aye.
Adams.
Well, I just want to highlight my appreciation and thanks for Portland Streetcar Incorporated. It has been, I think, not well understood the value added by Portland Streetcar Incorporated, which is really volunteer-driven board of directors that I would say is analogous to the Chinese Classical Garden nonprofit that runs the city-owned Chinese Classical Garden, the nonprofit that runs the Japanese Garden, Pioneer Courthouse Square. It, as with those efforts, PSI provides a lot of due diligence, a lot of creativity, and cash, $15 million. The buy-in that comes with having a PSI as one of our partners is cash that otherwise would we wouldn't have the political support for, I'm convinced. So the $15 million that was really the responsibility of PSI to bring to the table, they have, and I'm very grateful for it. Also the oversight. Because they're invested in this project with their own money, they are incredibly vigilant on the oversight of how the money is planned and action and efforts against plans. But the questions, it takes a whole village to make sure that, you know, we get something as complex as this right. So I really do appreciate the questions and share the passion for the line items to be appropriate. I also share a really deep concern about this project, though, and that is the impact on the businesses along the route of this big project. We're doubling the size of the trackage for streetcar, and we're doubling the size of the trackage of the streetcar along streets where we already have a number of businesses that are hanging on and not much better. So I'm really worried. So as we look to the line items in terms of outreach, I'm really worried that we invest enough to keep those businesses going during this construction, which will happen over the next, how many months, 24?
2.5 years.
2.5 years. So I welcome the questions. I think they're great. I just don't want, I want to make sure that we're not being penny wise and a pound foolish, because I want those businesses to thrive even during our construction period. We have a lot of experience keeping businesses going during the transit mall construction. We've learned better sort of what works and doesn't work. So just keep in mind the full picture of opportunity and challenges with this project. Again, my thanks to my staff, Shoshana Oppenheim, Catherine Charlo, the great team, John, Greg, Paul, and Sue at the Bureau of Transportation. Aye. All right, can you please call the vote for 787.
Fish?
Aye.
Zaltzman?
Well, I just wanted to additionally thank Mayor Sam Adams for his leadership, PSI for outstanding leadership, our transportation staff, but also single out former Mayor Vera Katz, Congressman Earl Blumenauer, and former Commissioner Charlie Hills for all their great work to this legacy. Aye.
Well said.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Adams.
Here, here. Aye. Approved. That gets us to the regular agenda. Can you please read the title for council calendar item on the regular agenda?
Yeah.
What?
Should we pick up the three we pulled?
We do it at the end.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Council calendar item 806.
Vacate a portion of Southeast 133rd Place, north of Southeast Ramona Street, subject to certain conditions and reservations.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. For the record, I'm Dee Walker, right-of-way acquisition with the Bureau of Transportation. And I'm here to present a request for a street vacation for a portion of Southeast 133rd Place. The petitioner is Charlie Swan. There has been no objection by anyone on this, no department. There's been no objection.
Any questions from council? All right, this is a regular agenda item. We'll move to council consideration next week. Thank you, Ms. Walker. Appreciate it. Can you please read the title for second reading, council calendar item 807.
Approve fee and rate charges for Bureau of Transportation Services, provide for annual adjustments for inflation and fee modifications, set an effective date, and establish an annual report to council.
Please call the vote. The second reading.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
I just want to recognize that this does include additional charges and that we looked them over very carefully as part of the budget process, and that I believe that they're warranted and that the Bureau of Transportation is doing a good job with this. Aye.
Adams.
Aye. Thank you all. Could you please read the item title for emergency item 808?
Give preliminary and final approval for the issuance of revenue bonds in an aggregate principal amount not to exceed $15 million for the refinancing of the City of Portland Multifamily Housing Revenue Bonds Series 1997, the Village at Lovejoy Fountain property.
Good morning.
Good morning. John Warner from the Portland Development Commission.
I know this item requires four votes for approval on an emergency basis, and I believe Commissioner Saltzman might have something to say which would affect the number of commissioners currently in the room.
I won't be voting on this.
Yeah. Right.
I will recuse myself.
So we'll go ahead and make the presentation. We'll find out if there's anyone that wishes to testify, but we'll wait to take the vote until we get Commissioner Leonard back.
Thank you. This item requests council approval of an application submitted by the Village at Lovejoy Fountain, LLC, to issue housing revenue bonds on its behalf in an amount not to exceed $15 million. It also requests authorization to issue these bonds. The Village at Lovejoy Fountain is a 198-unit mixed-income rental housing community located in the southwest area of the central city, just south of Portland State University. Pursuant to PDC regulatory agreement, 40 of this project's units are affordable to tenants at 50% of median income. The project was originally developed in 1997 and has been operating successfully since that time. It has a low vacancy rate, no deferred maintenance, and it's meeting its regulatory and debt service obligations. The bonds will be issued for the purposes of refunding the City of Portland multifamily housing revenue bonds that were issued at the time of the project's development, also in the amount of $15 million. This refunding is needed to replace credit enhancement currently provided by KeyBank. KeyBank is winding up its credit enhancement line of business for multifamily rental housing and will not review the line of the credit enhancement for this project. Under the proposed bond refunding, KeyBank will be replaced by Freddie Mac, which actually improves the credit support and hence probably makes going forward a likelihood of the project receiving lower interest rates than it currently does, which bolsters its operating strength. While the bonds are a special obligation of the city, they have no city backing and are payable solely from the revenues of the project and or from guarantees from the owner. So that's my presentation. Be happy to entertain any questions.
Any questions from council? Commissioner Fish.
Who decides who gets this conduit financing through PDC? Or how do you decide that?
Conduit financing is municipal financing, which under the Internal Revenue Code for the United States requires that municipalities like the City of Portland be issuers. There are only several issuers in the state of Oregon, the state, cities, and the Oregon Facilities Authority. So they have to be issued by a city or municipality. In the case of the Portland Code, the Portland Development Commission reviews these applications for feasibility.
My question is, who can apply to have that conduit funding?
Anybody, any entity can apply for private activity bond financing, correct.
And do we have a lot of requests like this?
It varies from time to time. Currently, the private activity bond market, because of the current economic crisis in the country, has deteriorated to the point we're not seeing many applications. But in a more typical environment, we'll have several of them on an annual basis.
And is there a limit on how little or how much people can ask us?
There is. Volume cap, as it's called, is allocated on a per capita basis by the Federal Treasury in the state of Oregon. It's in turn allocated on a competitive basis by the Treasurer's Office, the Debt Limit Allocation Committee.
And how much for Portland?
It's not done on a regional basis, on a first-come, first-served basis. And again, because there's been a dearth of applications, there's a surplus currently that's available. Any surplus that's not used can be carried forward to a subsequent year.
So could you please tell the audience at home how they might be able to apply for this if they're eligible?
Well, it's a pretty complicated financial structure. It involves typically not just this form of debt financing, the bonds, but also the use of low-income housing tax credits, subordinated gap financing from the City of Portland, and other types of subsidies. So I think the best place to start is probably to talk to the Portland Development Commission and or some local consultants that help people structure affordable housing transactions.
But it is available to any developer?
Yes, it is.
Great. Thank
and
you
we
much.
Have it on our website, a thorough description of the program along with all of our other financial tools. So we're happy to talk to anybody who's interested in learning more.
Thank you.
And your website is?
www.pdc.us.
Any other council discussion?
As John said, I will recuse myself from voting on this as I do have an economic interest in this project.
All right. Does anyone wish to testify on this project? This is an emergency ordinance. So, Carla, would you please call the vote on Council Calendar Item 808?
Fish?
This matter has been thoroughly vetted by the PDC Board of Commissioners. It's a relatively straightforward refinancing matter. We've looked at it, have no concerns with it. Thanks for your presentation, John. Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Note that the city collects a $10,000 administrative fee to issue the bonds and that there's no other financial impact to the city. Aye.
Adams.
Aye. 808 is approved. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance, council calendar item 809?
Authorize a letter of agreement with the City of Portland Professional Employees Association to amend the party's 2007-2010 labor agreement.
Good morning.
Good morning,
Mayor. Welcome.
Adams. Thank you. Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Julia Getchell. I'm a labor relations coordinator with the Bureau of Human Resources. I'm here today to ask you to adopt this ordinance, which amends the collective bargaining agreement with the city and the COPIA labor union to codify an existing practice regarding holiday pay for permanent part-time employees. There's no financial impact because this is an existing practice, and the Bureau does recommend adoption. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Great presentation. Any discussions emanating from council?
Hearing none.
Carla? Would anyone like to testify on emergency ordinance 809? Carla, would you please call the roll?
Fish.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
This is consistent with my experience working part-time in another entity, so I'm pleased to support it. Aye.
Adams.
Aye. 809 is approved. Can you please read...
Thank you.
Thank you for your work. Can you please read the purchasing report, which is council calendar item 810?
Amend a contract to VersaTerm, Inc. for replacement of the computer-aided dispatch system that supports the Bureau of Emergency Communications for a total not to exceed $7 million.
Commissioner Fritz?
Do you want to read to it?
I'm sorry. And will the companion purchasing report, could you please read the title? For council calendar item 811.
Award a contract to Sirius Corporate Computer Solutions, Inc. for hardware, operations, systems, software, and related services for the computer-aided dispatch system replacement that supports the Bureau of Emergency Communications for a contractual total not to exceed $1,041,331.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Mr. Bear.
The Bureau of Purchases. And before you, we've got two actions. On item 810, this is a purchasing agent report requesting approval to execute a contract with VersaTerm for the computer-aided dispatch system in support of the Bureau of Emergency Communications 911 Center. And we conducted a competitive request for proposal process. We selected VersaTerm, who is out of Ontario, Canada, as the highest scored proposer. And over the past several months, we've been in-depth negotiations with them to come to an agreed-upon contract. The estimate is that the contract will not exceed $7 million for the CAD system replacement. And I'll turn it over to Lisa, and if you have any comments you want to make.
Yes, as you know, this is to replace the system that was purchased in 19... I'm sorry, Lisa Turley, Director Boeck. To replace the system that was put in place in 1994 and which is approaching very quickly its end of life. So we have been working on this project since about 2005 for the various phases, and we are really looking forward to having this piece completed and to move on to the actual implementation work so that we can go live sometime in 2011.
And then I would also add on item 811, which is to award a contract to Sirius Computer Solutions, who is a local Portland-based supplier. This is actually the hardware component, all related to the CAD replacement.
And the MWSB?
There is no MWSB participation on either one. The Sirius computers, that's all hardware purchased, so it's all directly purchased through the one supplier.
Okay. Any other discussion from council? Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you for your good work on this. I'd like to ask Lisa Trilli to just say a little bit about why VersaTerm is the preferred provider.
Yes, we first phase of this project was to select the best solution for our CAD situation, and we decided to go with a off-the-shelf product. We conducted an RFP. We had many vendors present at our oral presentations, and we came down to a list of five very good vendors as our final choices, and Then they were vetted down to three. We had several presentations. We had vendors put their equipment into BOAC for about 30 days so that not only the BOAC staff, dispatchers, but also our partner agencies could come and try out the equipment. And unanimous selection from the BOAC folks, the BTS folks who are looking at the equipment needs, and our partner agencies chose Versaterm. They're a Canadian firm, and they're very high on customer service. And they are able to do some degree of customization and meeting the needs of Portland and our special geography and customer service desires as far as working with our citizens. So they were chosen unanimously.
And my understanding is that they also are providers to other major West Coast cities?
That's correct. They actually have the system in place in Vancouver, BC. It's called Prime BC. They recently went live in Seattle, and then they're further to our south in Sacramento. So I'm kind of looking toward it, if the technology will allow, that they would be our contingency, that we could actually use Versaterm product if we had an earthquake or we had some sort of situation here that we could turn on from Seattle or Sacramento to help us out. That's many steps down the road, but it's a possibility since we will have the same CAD.
Other council discussion?
Just one comment on 911. I was in Salem yesterday, and our crack lobbying team gave me a list of issues to raise with certain legislators, and 911 kept popping up with certain folks. And I guess the message that the city's been giving to legislators is please no more sweeps, mm-hmm. And we don't want to see any further reductions. And the response was very positive, but I did hear at the end of the day the legislature now believes it has another $100 million hole to fill in the mm-hmm. budget. So that puts a lot of things back on the table. But the mm-hmm. feedback I got from the leadership was that 911 would not be swept again.
Right, and we really do appreciate the Government Affairs Office. They were instrumental in making that stop at this point. And I know many of you have been down and talked to our legislatures, and we do appreciate it.
And since we don't give them enough love, I will say that almost everyone that I talked to said we have the best legislative team down in Salem. And they do an amazing job, the Governmental Affairs people.
Right. They really did, and they saved the day on the $8.1 million for this at this point in time. Now, if you're saying there's another hole, then you're right. It's back on the table, but it's been very instrumental in saving that money for us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
One more comment, and that is to thank you, Lisa, for your work on this. This is a significant investment in the most basic of services to get help to Portlanders and all of Multnomah County when they need it the most. And Director Charlie made outstanding contributions to making sure that we got the absolute best deal, as did the City Attorney's Office and Margarita Merlina in my office. And I wondered if Commissioner Lander wanted to talk about the Public Safety System Revitalization Project, that this is, you've been working on this both as previous commissioner in charge of BOAC and as in charge of that particular project.
Right. I mean, that's obviously a much larger project and includes some of the statewide discussions that Commissioner Fish alluded to ultimately hopefully come up with the bottom line is a statewide, regional-wide integrated system where different agencies could talk to each other, both via CAD and on radios. And I think citizens would be shocked to know that a state trooper sitting outside their home, were they to call 911 in the city and ask for help, wouldn't be dispatched, nor would he have the ability to be dispatched from BOEC unless he had a separate radio in his or her vehicle. So basically we're trying to address that, upgrade the current CAD. The police has their own individual system, as does fire, trying to make improvements to all of those. So it's a big effort. And again, Lisa is from the staff leading the way on that. Has just done a really good job.
Thank you, commissioners. And I have lots and lots of help. BTS, Mark Reinke, has been instrumental in this. We have a project office manager, Lisa Vasquez, who has been instrumental in this. It is certainly purchases has played a part in the city attorneys. It is not just me and my staff. It is this is a citywide, public safety-wide issue.
Other council discussion? Is there anyone that wishes to testify on council calendar items 810 or 811? Hearing none, these are purchasing reports. Carla, would you please call the roll?
On 810, Fish?
I want to thank Commissioner Fritz for her leadership and Commissioner Leonard for his great work in the past and ongoing. And Lisa, thank you for your great work. I'm pleased to vote aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Just to reiterate, the current computer-aided dispatch system that we're using is 15 years old, and that's pretty old for computer systems. So this is $7 million. That's a lot of money, but I'm confident that we're getting good value for money and that it's been properly vetted. I appreciate all the good work that's been done. Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 811?
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Adams?
Lisa and your team and the purchasing team, thanks for your great work as well. Thank you for your great work, Commissioner Fritz and Leonard. Aye. 811 is approved. Can you please read the council calendar item, emergency ordinance item 812?
Authorized grant agreements and intergovernmental agreements with 16 nonprofit and public entities related to the Community Watershed Stewardship Program.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm pleased to bring forward today the awarding of Community Watershed Stewardship Program grants, and I'll turn it over to Jennifer Devlin to give us a brief highlight of that.
Ms. Devlin, welcome.
Good morning. Jennifer Devlin with Environmental Services. I manage the Community Watershed Stewardship Program. One of those program elements is a competitive grant program that citizens send us incredible ideas for. We had 32 requests for funding this year. We've awarded 16. Those are in front of you. I've got very intriguing questions from both Commissioner Fritz and Commissioner Fish yesterday, so I hope you got my answers on those.
Okay, thank you.
We want to send this through because we have a couple of grantees that are raring to go, you know, right off the bat, July 1.
Discussion from the City Council from Ms. Devlin. Anyone wishes to testify on Council Calendar Item 812? Carla, would you please call the roll?
Fish?
Thank you. I'm especially pleased that the grantees include a community garden project in the Faith Community Youth Employment Program and a number of other very innovative programs. And I'm also pleased, Dan, of the partnership between Parks and BES in this effort. Pleased to vote aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I want to thank the Bureau of Environmental Services, Jennifer and Amy True in my office, who served on the committee to help award these grants. There are a lot of good things here, trail maintenance projects, community gardens, a lot of good projects. And so pleased to vote aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Thank you, Jennifer Devlin, for getting the answers to my questions via my staff. And a detail, because I wanted to know about the governmental matches or the matches that were provided in order to get these grants. And it's interesting to see how different jurisdictions are helping in different ways. And I guess my most favorite one was that the city of Gresham is providing $400 worth of worms. Yes. Lest you doubt that we are looking for sure. Very carefully at every one of these agenda items. I thought you would like to know that. Aye.
Adams.
I want to underscore my appreciation to Mayor Shane Bemis and the entire citizens of the city of Gresham for their generous partnership of $400 worth of worms. There's nothing like a Gresham worm. Really.
You gotta love it.
There's nothing like a Gresham worm. Aye. Could you please read the title for non-emergency proposed ordinance, Council Calendar Item 813?
Amend city code requirements regarding district property management license to include certain owner-occupied housing.
Commissioner Leonard.
Thank you. So, Mike, do you have a group you want to bring forward? You guys, hopefully Ty will be coming. Why don't you guys come on forward, Mayor Adams, members of the council. I'm bringing forward this item, which is the Business Improvement District Fee Assessment for Condominium Owners. The current Business Improvement District includes commercial properties, people who live in apartment buildings, and low-income housing, for an example, provided by our great partners at Central City Concern. Interestingly, only condominium owners are not required to pay into the Business Improvement District. And for those who might be wondering what that is, the Business Improvement District, it is really an innovative, cutting-edge approach to keep the downtown core area safe and clean, and thus it's called clean and safe, and reduce crime by as much as possible, and by all accounts, even those who may be here today that do not want to pay into the bid, it has been an exceedingly successful program. I've had the opportunity on a number of occasions to walk downtown with clean and safe officers. I have been consistently impressed by their professionalism and their approach. Crime is down over 30% in the BID since 2005, which is a hugely significant statistic. Car prowls all by themselves just in 2007 down 20%. 97% of the latest business census and survey respondents rate downtown as safe or very safe. We should not take that for granted. That is not something you necessarily see in large urban cores throughout the country. On the just the cleanliness factor, 78% of the latest business census survey respondents rated the district clean or very clean. 14 formerly homeless people are employed full-time through Central City Concern in these various efforts, including our Portland Lou, located in Old Town, is contracted through the through SAFE and services provided by Central City Concern to keep that looking as good as it does. 21,152 graffiti tags were removed and 4,114 calls for service were answered in the bid by the bid in 07-08. So it's a very successful program. I believe that all those that are living within it should pay to support it, and it's really a matter of equity. If a person who lives in a in one of Central City Concern's properties should pay, I think people who live in condominiums should pay as well. So I'll turn this over to you guys and look forward to your presentation.
All right. Thank you. My name is Mike Kuykendall. I'm the Vice President of the Portland Business Alliance. And through our contract with Portland Downtown Services Incorporated, which is the Board of Directors for the BID, I am the President of the Board. Sitting to my immediate right is Michelle Martin. She's our incoming Chairman of the Board from Ashport Pacific. So she'll talk a little bit about the BID and the programs that are run there. To her right is Phil Calber, who's a downtown businessman, property owner. He owns also residential and affordable rate rental housing, and so he's going to talk a little bit about how the bid was formed. He was there at the beginning in 88 and the different efforts over the last 20 years to have the condominiums pay into the bid fee to support clean and safe. And our last speaker will be Ed Blackburn from Central City Concern, who's going to talk a little bit about the Homeless to Work program that is funded by Clean and Safe and also about the rental property that he owns in downtown. So I'll turn it over to Michelle.
Thank you very much. As Mike said, Michelle Martin, I am also the downtown property manager for an investment company, Ashforth Pacific, the largest owner of Class A office space in the Central Business District. The Portland's bid was formed in 1988, comprised of 213 blocks in the downtown core. Our fiscal year 2010 budget will be $3.8 million. What we provide with that $3.8 million is safety and security, maintenance, the sidewalk ambassador program, and the community court program. Those programs comprise 75% of the funds of the bid. In addition to that, we also provide research and marketing. Our accomplishments for the 08-09 season, crime down, as Commissioner Leonard said, 6% in the bid. Car prowls down 21% and vandalism down 15%. Crime overall is down over 35% in the bid since 2005. Our funds offer beds for chronic offenders programs and also funds for SAFE benefiting transition projects and the Julia West House. Over 98% of the latest business census and survey respondents rate downtown as safe or very safe, as Commissioner Leonard said. Also, very important, crime by chronic offenders is down 81% because in part of these programs. Clean and Safe Security employs 16 armed security personnel comprised mostly of retired Portland police officers. They do over 280,000 citizen interactions last year. The bid provides funds to provide 3 police bike officers, and due to our successful partnership, the Central Precinct assigns 3 additional bike officers and 4 mounted patrol officers to work with the Clean and Safe program. This is a collaborative effort. Our security personnel are experts at the paperwork that the police officers need. It frees those officers up to make more arrests. Clean and safe maintenance. Over $25,000 graffiti tags removed, $1,200 needles removed, and 17,000 bags of garbage removed. We took back 985 shopping carts. 10,000 piles of glass were swept up, and 6,000 calls for service were answered. We employ 14 formerly homeless people full-time in this program and over 70 for the year. 78% of the latest business census and survey respondents rated the bid as clean or very clean as a result of a lot of this program. The sidewalk ambassadors, you'll recognize them with their green hats and their vest. They provide wayfinding and other information to thousands of visitors and residents who are in our city. They distribute thousands of street routes resource guides that are handed out. And they also act as frontline eyes and ears for the clean and safe by observing and reporting criminal activity and livability issues, contributing to the livability of our downtown retail core. The Community Justice Program serves by a partnership with the Circuit Court, District Attorney, and Public Defender's Office on the Westside Community Court Program. The defendants perform community service in the community where they offend. Over 9,000 defendants through the program to date, with 1,400 this year. We have a 70% completion rate through that program, and drug and alcohol treatment success is rated at 60%. Over $604,000 in work crew labor to date at minimum wage, with $79,000 this year. We had 423 defendants complete the theft accountability class that is taught by downtown retailers, and after this class, with a recidivism rate of only 6.2%. The condo inclusion revenue, the range of payments annually is $10 to $380 per unit for this wonderful service that's provided. The average payments are $150 per unit per year, and the total amount generated by the condo's inclusion would be $154,000. We are very proud of the accomplishments of the inclusion of, and the inclusion of the condo owners' funds will allow us to accomplish even more. We will be able to add over 3,200 hours of additional security and 4,200 hours of additional cleaning. The condo owners will be a part of this great effort with representation on the PDSI board. We urge you to include the condo owners. It's the right thing to do.
Thank you. Mr. Calvert.
My name is Phil Calvert, president of Calvert Company. We own downtown properties and also some housing units downtown, some of which are affordable. We own the Fifth Avenue Court Apartments, which has half the units at an affordable rate. And we are happy to pay monies into the downtown BID because we understand the importance of the BID, not only for our activities here, but actually for the increase in value of properties in Portland because it is clean and safe, and we are marketing the area. I also, the last 15 years, have lived 10 years in downtown Portland. Recently, I moved out, not far out of the district, but I'm out of the district. And so I lived both in apartments and condos. And I tell you, the only time I was not proud to live in Portland was when I was at Portland Plaza, and we refused to voluntarily give any funds to the Clean and Safe program. The program was formed in 1988, as has been mentioned,
when crime was high, the streets were dirty, and the economy was in the tank. Today, the economy is in the tank, but we do have clean streets, and we have low crime. And why is that? It's basically because of a stellar public-private partnership that came together in forming, which was originally called an EID, an Economic Improvement District, then moved into a BID. And it was doing things that the city wanted to do but did not have the resources to do so because the economy was in the tank. And it has worked, and it has worked very well over the years. So what do we provide? As pointed out, security, safety, and some marketing dollars. And those are used to attract good retail, dining, museums, theater, attractions you would think that someone living downtown would appreciate. But then I guess if you get them for free, it's all the better. I've been involved with the Business Improvement District since its formation and was one of the original board members that formed it in 1988. At that time, we did not include either the condos or apartments. We took our first run at including both of these, and I either getting Alzheimer's or whatever, I can't remember if it was 93 or 95. And we went to council, and council approved apartments going in it because apartment owners understood the value of it. But we were not able to get the condos in because of threats of lawsuits and all sorts of other things. But council did tell the condo owners and the BID at the time, let's get together and work out a voluntary program. And we worked on that. Some people worked hard on it. We have a member from Coin Tower here who worked very hard on it. But we didn't get very far. Originally, there were some contributions, and then they trailed off. And as we looked at it in the BID, we saw that the hours we were spending just administrating to these three condos, and there were only three condos at the time, the Ambassador, Portland Plaza, and the Coin. The hours we were spending administrating it, not providing security, not providing cleaning, just administration, was greater than the dollars we were getting in on a voluntary basis. So basically, we let it slide. Another run was taken in 2002, and again, it was proven that a voluntary system just will not work. So where are we now? I think we're at a point where it's time to say, let's include the condos. The benefits are there to the condo owners. I know I was one. The benefits are there for the people who live downtown, work downtown, and play downtown. When we last talked about this, I think at the commission level, was when the LID was being put together for the downtown transit mall. And property owners, which I was part of the group, came together, and again, we put together a proposal excluding the condos. But that was only because the timeline was so strong and so strict that we needed to get the LID in place before we lost the federal funds and other funds necessary to make that program work. But if you remember, Commissioner Leonard voted against it on the basis that it wasn't being fair to the rest of the people who are paying the tab. And I think at that time he talked about the people up the top of the condos should raise their champagne glasses and toast the rest of the city for what they have done. You will probably be threatened with lawsuits and whatever, but it's time, and this commission, I think, has expressed itself that it's willing to fight some of those battles. It's time to take the next step to make it fair and equitable to everybody in the city for a program that has been emulated throughout the country, a program we as a city can be very proud. Please take this step.
Thank you.
Aye. My name is Ed Blackburn. I'm the executive director of Central City Concern. We are the clean part of the Clean and Safe program, although I think that also has a safety function as well. The 14 permanent employees that were talked about are employees of Central City Concern. They make $10.47 an hour plus health benefits. But there's also about 30 positions that are temporary six-month positions, training positions. And we will put another 60 to 70 people through those positions a year where they're making $8.47 an hour. With the city's help at our Employment Access Center, we have a supportive employment team that works with them for permanent employment opportunities, and we placed 357 homeless people into jobs so far this year, even with the current economy. I can't tell you the sense of pride that these are all formerly homeless people, all of them involved in drug addictions or with some mental health issues. They are in treatment or have completed treatment. They also secure housing through Central City Concern. And I also walk the streets, and I watch what they do, and they know that I'm often walking around watching. And the pride in which 90% of them take in their jobs is for us at Central City Concern, it's what it's all about, that people are experiencing this kind of personal uplifting and transformation and seeing that they can be part of the solution. Almost all of these people were part of the downtown crime problem before they got involved in this clean and safe program. I also want to say that we just don't take money in terms of a contract, which is about $600,000 a year. We also pay bid fees. We may be the largest residential landowner in downtown. Certainly for very low-income units, we're the largest. We have 11 buildings with over 1,000 units. Some of those units are rented on the open market at a very low rent. Those people are helping to pay the fee through their rent. We also have people on subsidies in a lot of those buildings, and they're required to pay up to 30% of their rent, and they help pay the fee. And I just want you to keep that in mind when you're thinking about this. If the very low-income people in the downtown can help pay the fee, I don't think there are too many people owning condos at the 30% level of the federal poverty level. So I think everybody needs to do their share and also experience the benefit. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Fritz?
Could you tell me how you decided what assessments for each condo and who was involved in figuring out those formulae?
I think Mike Kuykendall would answer that question.
I could also.
Okay.
Yes. As a general matter, the formula for the calculation of the assessments on any participant in the bid process was established by the City Council in code. I believe the last round was 1994. So any assessments that would be assigned to any new participant in the system would be based on that formula, which is generally assessed value per the county assessor, number of elevators in the building, and I believe square footage are the three major elements. And I don't.
Wasn't that set up with thinking that condominiums wouldn't be in there?
Well, but apartments are. I mean, we actually have phenomena where recently buildings that had traditionally been rental units and paid converted to condos, same building, same layout, and now don't pay. So the answer is no.
So there wasn't any re-evaluation of whether there needed to be something different or a different funding formula?
Functionally, I mean, the only difference between a condominium unit and an apartment unit is the person owns the space that they live in the condominium, whereas the apartment person is a renter who's on a contract for a short period of time. So as a practical matter, I don't think that there would have been a decision-making process that would have led to a different formula for two very like similar uses between apartments and condominiums. So I think the answer is no.
So this, and by bringing in condo owners, will raise an additional $154,000?
Correct.
And the average cost to a condo?
$150 per year per unit.
I have a question for Ty Kuykendall. The question.
You just call me Kuykendall.
The question of just representation rights of condo owners on either the PBA board or the bid board or on any other entity. Could you speak to that?
As I understand it, there is currently notwithstanding that they haven't paid into the bid, a one representative on the bid board for condominiums. And I've heard the Business Alliance express that they are very open to pushing for additional representation now that the condominiums would be included.
Other conversation with this group? All right. Carla, how many do we have
signed?
Thank you. How many do we have signed up?
We have 11 people.
All right. So I'd like to limit testimony to 2 minutes unless you absolutely are prepared for three. Please call the first three.
Please come on up.